I'm Colette.
And I'm Izzy.
And welcome back to Being Crime. And today is Izzy's episode. And it's been super, super long since we recorded the last one.
Yeah, we've been very busy with school, but we're back.
Not an excuse from true crime. Probably been, what, like 3-4 months?
Yeah, because it was March, because it was when it snowed.
Yeah, which is going to be confusing. But I'm very excited. Some little updates since we've been gone. So I've been reading the book version of Mindhunter because your last murder that you did was Jerry Brudos.
Yeah.
Who was
featured in that series.
Which was a very, very good series, would highly recommend. So I have been reading the book and I'm about halfway through now. And it's so, so interesting. So I'm really enjoying that. And also I have been watching Netflix documentary, which is called Wild Wild Country, which basically...
Yeah, I haven't heard of that.
It's so good. It's
about... Are you going to tell me about it now?
Probably not now. I want to do like later. A whole thing about it.
Oh, okay, nice, yeah.
But it's about this cult that sort of... I don't know. I didn't actually think I found cults that interesting.
Mm.
But it's so strange. I'm finding it really bizarre. It's a massive cult. There's about like 10,000 people.
Okay,
like a huge, huge cult.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I'm finding it really interesting how like this one guy sort of manipulated 10,000 people. And they actually interview quite a few of the ex-members now. I think it's been shut down.
Yeah.
And they don't think that they were like manipulated or anything.
Wait, save the story.
I know.
Go into this in more detail.
And one more update. So my last one that I did, I think, was Zodiac.
Yeah.
And I'm really sad. A couple of months ago, the detective in the Zodiac case passed away from old age. So, like a good, not good death, that's not what I mean. Like a...
Not a painful one.
Yeah, but I'm...
Good out of the death option.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
If I had to choose one, that would be the one I would choose.
We've got a lot of plenty worse death options that we discuss here. So
if you don't like death, leave.
Oh yeah, that's another thing. This episode has mature themes. So
I mean, I think
all of them will. You know, if you don't like murder, then obviously, you know, this isn't really for you.
Yeah.
It's coffee and crime. But
you can tell by the
But this one also has some sexual themes and themes of rape. Others, you know, other episodes have as well.
But you know, it's disclaimers. Just
Yes, we have forgotten to do disclaimers, which is not great.
But we can put it in the description. It's fine.
Yeah.
Also, one more thing, which I feel like I haven't disclaimed before, and I feel like I definitely should hold, is one of the ways, like, people deal with grief and sadness in different ways, and my way is I can't cope, so I laugh. And it's not because I find it funny, because I don't. It's like...
Your way of your coping mechanism.
So if you hear me laughing... It's not because I find it funny.
It's like you can't process.
Yeah, that might be happening probably quite a lot this episode from what you've told me, which is not much. Introduce.
So, this episode is going to be our, I think, definitely first couple.
Mm-hmm.
And so it will have our first woman, is this correct? Yep. Right. And it is Gerald and Charlene Gallego.
I have never heard of these people.
That is good because you've heard of them all. And I'm so pleased I've come up with someone that you don't know so I can tell you something nice and
fresh.
I'm
so excited now.
I kind of chose this based on, you know, the interesting part I found was Charlene's role.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but obviously I'll go over the whole thing. And then I'll just touch on that at the end, mostly.
It's a couple murder, but we only talk about one
person. Yeah, that would be weird. So, no, I'll talk about them equally, and then it's just at the end, you know. Mm-hmm. I won't spoil too much, so I'll just get into it. So, just to talk about their past, because I always find that interesting.
Me too.
So, Gerald Gallego.
That's such a normal name, sorry.
Yeah, but his past was, you know, not normal. It was kind of like... textbook serial killer, you
Great.
Know, it was, so his mother and her boyfriends beat him.
Great.
And she became a sex worker and her clients abused him, you
Even
know, and generally, he was just kind of neglected. So, you know,
Also, another disclaimer, lots of my friends say that my voice is very monotone and you can't tell when I'm being sarcastic. That was sarcasm.
Oh yeah, I think we got that. That's good disclaimer though, right? Yeah, so he, you know, his whole life was filled with himself committing crimes. So age 13, he sexually abused a 6-year-old girl.
What the hell?
So, you know, he grew up with abuse and
13.
Yeah, I know, quite young. I'm not sure if he did anything, any other crimes before that, but basically by the time, so, you know, spoiler, he was caught. But by the time he
hence
was caught,
they know who did
hence
the crime.
They know who it is. That's a good point. You know, I was like, am I messing something up here? But no. He had been arrested 23 times for various crimes. So rape, incest, auto theft, assault with a deadly weapon, and he had served time. And he had also had 7 failed marriages. And when he got with Charlene, he was still... And I think when he married Charlene, he was still married.
This reminds me of
H.H. Holmes, our H.H. Holmes episode. Because he was married to a lot of ladies, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then conned them.
And then conned them. Oh, yeah. And he also, Gerald also, that's why it reminded me of it. Because he also, when they ran out of money, he often left them. So.
He sounds like an all round nice guy.
Well, yeah. So, Charlene. She was born in 1956, and so she had a very different past to Gerald. So her father was a respected entrepreneur and vice president of a supermarket chain, so, you know, had some money, and her mother had an accident, a car accident, so she often travelled with him on business trips, and, you know, she got a lot of comments for her intelligence and, you know, being well-spoken. She actually supposedly had an IQ of 160.
Wow. Damn, that is actually...
That's very high, yeah.
A lot of serial killers have high IQs.
Yeah. Yeah, and she, you know, she was a well-behaved child.
Yeah.
Girl, you know. But then in high school, she got into drugs and she sounded like a lovely girl because she apparently bragged about having a black lover. So...
Great.
Well, you know, great.
Slight racism.
Fetishizing, anyway. Yeah. So she also had failed marriages. She had 2 failed marriages. So it's kind of thought, you know, her starting drugs basically made her spiral a little bit to a less good life. But, you know, she wasn't doing anything crazy.
A lot of people do drugs.
No.
And
no, I just mean took her off the path success rather than leading to her being a murderer. Oh, okay. It's just, like, taking her off this, like, you know... intelligence path to the, I think she's just feeling a bit fulfilled. So she had she married first a young and wealthy man, but he was a heroin addict, and, you know, they were both using a lot of drugs. Apparently she did not care what she looked like. I don't see the relevancy, but you know,
that does seem like a bit of a strange
addition to see in there, but maybe, you know, maybe that's important. And he claimed that she was obsessed with lesbian sex and begged him to have a threesome. So her parents got involved with their relationship and her husband didn't like it, so they broke up.
I don't know.
See the details, but, you know, he didn't like having them involved in their relationship. I'm not sure. Maybe it was the drugs that they didn't like. But So the next husband that she had was a soldier, but she thought he was a mother's boy. And she got bored of him. So she had an affair with a married man, and she asked him to have sex with her and his wife, and he broke it off, and she attempted suicide.
When you said mother's boy, it just reminded me of...
Arrested Development.
Yes.
Yes, I was when I saw it, and I was like, soldier? Sorry if you don't get the reference, you should definitely watch Arrested Development. Yeah. Little
busted.
Yeah, I was like, you know, he was in the army or whatever, and also mother boy. I was like, wow, I was going to mention that. I actually was going to make a note of it, but that's too much.
The second half of season 5, is it now? Season 4. I don't know what season we're on.
What?
The second half of it is going to be Busta Blues. The whole the whole franchise is based on this. This woman. Great.
No, yeah, so that's kind of their background. So they met a few weeks after her suicide attempt, and as I said, is when he was already married as well. Oh, it was shortly after her second divorce.
Okay.
That they met. And I think he was pretty kind of charming at first. And
is she attractive, in your opinion?
Oh, do you know, I didn't pay that much attention, but, you know, not like, he wasn't grabbing me like that, you know, like, okay. He wasn't like...
But I can imagine he was super, like, charismatic, a lot of...
I don't actually know. I don't think it was necessarily... Basically, so she was kind of feeling unfulfilled. She was submissive.
Okay.
And she was disliked... Yes, he was very dominant. And she was disliked at work for being flirty and stuff. And she wanted, apparently, someone who could take charge. And he fit this, basically. That's why she liked him, because he kind of, was a dominant man. Okay. Yeah, they moved in a week after meeting, and he liked rough sex, particularly sodomizing Charlene, but she claimed in court that she hated the painful experience. So this is relevant.
Okay.
This isn't just me throwing details about their sex life out there, you know, obviously it's relevant to their subsequent, no, can't speak,
subsequent.
To their subsequent crimes, and... Yeah, she responded to that, even though she said, she said in court she didn't like being sodomized, but she did respond to that, and, she, you know, apparently they had a good sex life, but they wanted to improve that, so, further. So,
is this about to...
So, Gerald, after a few months, brought home a 16-year-old, lovely, because they're in their 20s. Actually, back to our conversation, I'm just... Like, a minute ago, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, he looked pretty, you know. He wasn't, like, no, you know. He looked fine, you know.
Yeah, because it's
and she
weird.
Was quite...
Quite nice, a few serial killers either are, like, super duper... Or not super attractive, but really, like, charismatic, like Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
And women trusted them. Or they're super...
Unconventionally attractive.
No, that wasn't what I was going to say. But, like, I was reading this morning about... I think his name's Robert Hansen.
I feel like I've heard that.
But he was like the one that took people. I want to do him at some point. So
okay, yeah.
It said that he had really really bad acne and he had a speech impediment.
Oh yeah.
So he was really really insecure, and it seems like serial killers are either quite confident in their attractiveness or really really insecure, and then they lash out because they're insecure because they can't get women, or they
this is incel thing where they can't get women, so they're like,
oh yeah,
we should get women assigned to us. Anyway, that's a different debate. But Richard Ramirez and stuff was supposed to be attractive.
Was he?
I personally don't
me neither. But then also, but I think it does make a difference. Obviously, I know that they're serial killers, so obviously, I'm not gonna.
But like, then some people are attracted to them.
There's Ted Bundy fan pages.
Yeah, but when I think, I'm just thinking of like Jerry Bruno's. So when I think of him, then I'm like, oh yeah, this guy looked.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he looked pretty. You know, they're like. Normal,
average,
I suppose. Yeah. Maybe. See, I'm trying to remember. I think we've talked about this too long now. But yeah.
Moving on.
You can look it up.
Decide for yourself.
You know.
Comment. I don't.
Let
can
us
you
know.
Comment on podcasts. If, I don't know how they work because
it does. You know.
Tweet
it
us.
Doesn't matter. Tweet
on
us
on the Twitter that we don't have yet.
That we will be making. We should have one. By this point, email us. You know, just do what
we
you
haven't
want.
Put our email Discuss. Anywhere either.
It's fine, it's fine. So, he brought home the 16-year-old dancer for a threesome. This was willing, as far as I know. I don't know if he manipulated her or anything, but, you know, he didn't have to, like...
Kidnap her.
Yeah, kidnap her. And he made sure the women only touched him.
Great.
As we know, she was a threesome fan. Okay. And, yeah, I don't know, she liked having sex with other women as well, basically.
Okay.
And he found them in bed together later on, when he came back from work. And apparently...
Was she just living there? Why was she...
Yeah, no, I don't know why she was there, but I don't know if she invited her back again.
Okay.
But, so I'm unsure of this, because I only saw this on one source.
Okay.
And it's doesn't seem to be counted in their murders unless she didn't die. Apparently he threw the girl out of the window and hit Charlene. But if it was like a ground floor
hit
window...
Hit Charlene with her throwing out of the window.
No, hit...
Oh.
Hit Charlene.
Separate events.
Separate events,
okay,
yeah.
I was going to say that'd be some...
In some rage. But if it was like, you know, maybe bottom, like ground floor window, maybe he didn't.
Mm.
I don't know.
How do you even basically throw someone out of a window?
Well, she's 16, she's small compared to him as a, you know, fully grown
man. Yeah, but
man.
Windows are, I meant the window size. I don't think I'd fit aren't through they? A window. Mine doesn't.
Well, not your own window, looking at that. No, you might. I don't know, it's probably a big window. I don't know.
Okay, thinking about it too much.
Yeah. So, you know, he was clearly, like, aggressive anyway. Mm-hmm. Whatever the details of that.
Piece of pieces. Garbage.
Yeah. That summarises it. And so he then, so, you know, he's a bit controlling, it seems, as well, because he withheld sex then from Charlene, claiming to be impotent.
Okay.
So he started, I mean, who knows, he could have been kind of seeing other women at the same time. Anyway, but, you know, he started seeing other women for sex, and seeing other women might be, you know, a bit of a stretch, because one of the other women was his 14-year-old daughter, who he
ooh,
soon sodomised as well,
ooh,
apparently,
no.
And her friend
ooh, stop,
as well.
Stop.
I know, it's quite...
Who was
heavy.
The daughter with, not with Charlene?
No.
Oh my god.
Because they hadn't met, yeah, I know. Quite gross.
One,
see,
she's his daughter.
I didn't see that.
Two, she's 14. Three,
just no.
Overall, gross.
Yeah, just no. Yeah, it's awful. Sorry.
That's okay.
Maybe I should have put less detail about that in there. But,
what were you going to put? He, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That
I thought it was
especially detailed.
You know, but so apparently Charlene knew about this. Some people have suggested that makes her a sociopath. So it's unclear whether she was in the room or just in the apartment,
but
apparently she knew.
It's difficult because if he is manipulative...
This is the debate. This
yay.
Is the debate. So I know.
We cracked it.
So you have to wait around for that to
we just
blossom,
start arguing at each other.
No, I mean the debate between...
That,
you know,
that wasn't English. I meant to say yelling at each other, not arguing at each other.
Arguing men, it's all right. Basically, yeah, and he worked in a bar, believe, and she thought he had started kind of seeing customers there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but she knew about it. I mean, she clearly wasn't, I suppose you could say she wasn't that mad because she didn't leave him, unless, which we'll talk about, the manipulation
mm-hmm.
element. But basically, you know, she knew. And so he was disinterested in her sexually, and he decided that I will just say though, I don't know, you know, why that didn't come to light and why that's not more, like, touched upon in a lot of the things I read about
mm-hmm.
his daughter. Because that alone is
yeah.
an open crime. But obviously there's, you know, did she bring that...
Is incest technically illegal? It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I read a story of a mother and her son, and I think she gave him up for adoption, and then they met, and then they got together, and then they found out they were together, but then... I think they had to get, like, sort of, like, not a restraining order against each other, but they were forced to stay apart, like, they couldn't meet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
it was illegal. It was kind
well,
of sad, because they were...
From a point of view, yeah, because they're still...
I mean, it's not something I would pursue if I found that out, even though it's really hard, because you're obviously fallen in love without realising.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is hard. I don't know.
No. So, he said that he needed slaves. Wow, this sounds
yeah.
a lot like... Every other series.
Yeah.
Jerry Bridos, I
yeah,
think, and Zodiac.
And, yeah, because literally, he said he needed slaves to turn him on, and he said...
Oh, that wasn't quite the same.
No, but he fantasized about having...
A hole
like,
in a...
Almost.
A rabbit
like,
hole.
Exactly, but like... some sort of like bunker to hold slaves is what he fantasized about. But he fantasized about, yeah, having somewhere to hold sex slaves for him. And she, you know... I suppose she wanted
so,
to please him.
It is basically Jerry Bridos. I think you said, I was listening to it the other day, dug a hole in a hill.
Yeah,
where he
but
was
then there was the confusion about whether he was successful. Maybe
yeah.
I should have followed that up. Maybe in another episode.
But we should actually do the research that we should have done.
No, it was hard.
I don't mean you specifically. I meant both of us.
No, I know, but that one actually. Some of these things are coming up where I'm like, oh, actually.
So, because I just remembered, can I quickly correct something from in H.H. Holmes? I said Saint Louis, and it should have been Saint Louis, or I said it the wrong way anyway. And also, I said it was an island near.
So this was when we were talking about
he was shipping horses from Texas to St. Louis, and I said it was an island, so how would he get the horses on a boat? But St. Louis is in the United States, I think in Michigan or one of the middle Central America states. So they were not being put on boats at all. So that
which
was...
I still think you could do.
We had like anyway. A whole debate about yes. that, and it was. Irrelevant.
Based on life,
yeah, correction there.
So
back to the depressing stuff.
Back to the depressing stuff. Yeah. So she basically, the argument is that she wanted to please him because she agreed to find them to source him some sex slaves.
Wow, how romantic!
Yeah, it's sweet. Nice Valentine's Day present. Right. Here we get into the murders. So she would abduct them.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, so this is basically the general structure for their murders. He would wait in a van, and she would abduct them, but from, like, public or semi-public places. So this is so similar to Jerry Bruno's, because it was, like, parking lots.
Also, it's malls. Super similar to Ian Brady and Myra Hindley. They used to...
I do not know enough about this.
Okay, well,
say.
Maybe that'll have to be...
Yeah.
So many
because there's always, like,
ideas.
Talked about... And I feel like it's just when it's so well known that I'm just like...
Yeah. Same with Ted Bundy. I don't know that much about him.
Yeah. You know, we've got to look into this.
I know. I watched... There's an episode of Deadly Women, which is about Myra Hindley.
Oh, yeah.
And I got like halfway through and I was like, I can't. It's too much.
Yeah.
I don't have literally no sympathy. And not, obviously, I'm not saying I have sympathy for... serial killers, but
yeah,
some of them like
have slight mitigating factors as well.
Yeah,
mean?
Like Ed Kemper,
or when they show some sort of remorse.
Yeah, she or I hate them. So
I need to know more about this. This
sorry.
Interesting.
Anyway,
so she would abduct them for him, sort of thing. So mm-hmm. he'd be there, just kind of very close, and it was initially teenagers. Usually two at a time.
God.
So
I assume it was like not abducting where you just run up and grab someone.
No, it was
like...
So apparently with the teenager, she actually dressed as a teenager, whatever that means.
Okay, that's weird.
To, you know, to try and lure them over. But actually, no, with some of it was at gunpoint.
Okay.
So I suppose once you get to the van, you're trying to shove people in a van, then you've got to whip out the gun because that's not... gonna happen easily as just walking with someone in a mall. Okay, so the first kidnapping was on the 1st of September 1978, and it was from a mall. Two teenagers, Rhonda Scheffler, age 17, and Kippy Vought, 16.
I hate so much when they're like the same age as me.
I know it's so weird. So that's the same age as us, 17.
Yeah.
So those girls were both raped and murdered. In the van.
In the van.
I think it was, yeah,
in
the van.
I would imagine, probably it's easier.
The logistics of raping, killing people. Right. And then the following year, in 1979, these, I think, were the youngest victims. Brenda Judd, age 14, I can't speak, age 14, I know. And Sandra Colley, age 13. From Washoe County Fair. That's just awful, like, oh. When you see the victims' faces, like...
Don't.
No. But I like to say their names because it's like...
Yeah.
You know, even though it's quite a long list to say them. I haven't known
them.
Yeah,
a lot of the time people don't... The one type of victim people don't talk about is like rape victims. Because obviously they don't want their name. Because if they survive...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Obviously not everyone wants...
Yeah.
Like, because then you couldn't get abuse and things like
that's
that.
That's true, yeah, yeah. But I don't know, in this case, yeah, I like to recognise them, like, sort of, you know, remember them. Yeah. Oh.
Was that the words I wanted?
Yeah, because you don't just want... It's like with, like, gun violence victims and everything. You don't want
the murderers to, yeah,
to be remembered, and you want to remember the victims. But anyway, so that was, I'm unsure how to say this, but Washoe or Washoe County Fair, anyway, in Reno, Nevada. And so in, I believe in the van, they were 14 and 13, and they were forced to perform sex acts with each other. So they're like young. Oh, that's just traumatic. And then they were, this is the worst, I think, because then they were beaten to death with a shovel and a hammer. And that's the most graphic this is going to get, because it's just, I don't want to go into more. Yeah, I don't want to go into more detail than that, because that's just, but I just thought,
just to eat tea sooner.
This is us laughing as a coping mechanism. No, but that, yeah, that's the worst. I just thought, just so I can capture
how the depravity.
There was more after this, kind of getting a bit older, but you know, still young, but just young women.
Mm-hmm.
And June 1980, Linda Aguilar, I believe, was 21 years old. She was 4 months pregnant.
Oh, and God.
It ended with her, I won't describe it all, but ended up with her being buried alive. She was hitchhiking.
Oh.
I noted that down because I was like, this is always the thing.
Do not hitchhike.
Yeah, not that it's her.
No, but I'm just saying that a lot of horrible people. I actually sometimes, like, I was walking home once in the rain and loads of cars were going past me, and I was like, you know what would be really nice now? Someone offered me a lift. Yeah, and then instantly I was like, no. And then I started thinking, what do I do if someone does offer me a lift? Because it's raining and I don't have an umbrella. So it's like, not completely never going to happen. Like, what?
Yeah.
What do I say without being in?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm almost home.
In the middle of a field. Woo. No.
If you're in the middle of a field, run. No, that's scary.
True.
Oh, when I was in the middle of a field once, on my own, like, complete middle of a field, like, a van started, approaching me, and I was like, I'm in the middle of this completely empty field, because I was out with, two of our friends, I won't share names, but, you know, and they had gone looking for one of their dogs, which had run off, and I was just in this, field, and they were, there's a wood bit, and they'd gone into that, so I just shouted their names, and I had no service, but it was just like a farmer or something. But as they approached, like, and it they just stopped, so, and they didn't scary. Get out.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like, there's no way. Because that was the closest way I could have got back into the village, like, the path which mm-hmm. they were on. The other way, I would have had to go into this, like, wooded area.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, loads of, I would have had to run to the main road, basically. Yeah. And I was just having a bit of, like,
stress.
Uh-oh, like, this is a good situation, because there's not really houses around, but I lived.
Good job.
So, you know, I'm pleased with that, and no one attacked me. Yeah, I'm quite a paranoid person with that kind of thing. I feel like, especially when we read all about this, it doesn't help our mindset, but anyway. Yeah. So the last one was November the 2nd, 1980, and this was a young man and a woman, age 21. So that was their first man. But basically, and these were also the first two, I think, that they actually took back to the house for rape purposes. But yeah, so essentially they were all sexually abused and murdered, either with a gun or being bludgeoned to death or those terrible things. So these last two victims, their friends saw their abduction and they got the car license plate.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So kind of, oh my God, good, but kind of like, well, no, oh my God, obviously. They watched them being taken away. But,
That's still...
So they gave that to the police. And so that's
incredible, because how upsetting is it? You've just seen two of your friends
Being kidnapped. You'll probably just be panicking, because you might not know that they're literally in such danger. You know, you might just think it's suspicious rather than like...
Yeah, but that's still like
an
emergency situation to think to do that. Incredible.
So 15 days after then they kidnapped their last victims, they were apprehended by the police. So November 1980, November the 17th.
Was it because of the car registration?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how they found them. So they both pleaded.
This is going to make me mad. I'm sensing that. Okay.
Yeah, it made me quite mad. They both pleaded not guilty.
Okay.
And Gerald was found guilty, even though, like, to his death, he said, I am not guilty. He, like...
Okay.
But he was. They had sure. their evidence, you know.
Yeah, obviously.
He was guilty.
I'm all about innocent till proven guilty, but also, he sounds
no,
like...
No, he was... Yeah. He was guilty. You know, they had so much
yeah.
evidence. They watched him kidnap him. Did I say they killed 10 people overall?
That's you didn't list 10 people, but...
No, I didn't list
them, you haven't said that, no.
That's obviously...
Is that known,
important.
Or is it suspected more?
I suppose that's known, yeah. There was nothing about suspected more, but...
Okay.
Known 10, one man, the rest women. Or, you know, girls, really.
Yeah.
Not really women, were they? And he was sentenced to execution. So this isn't going to make you mad. This okay. I know you don't like...
No.
I'm not a big, huge death penalty fan either. He was sentenced to execution by gas chamber. But, I know, terrible. But,
I hate gas chambers.
But... Semi doesn't matter because he died of cancer before.
Okay.
Before that. But I'm kind of not... like, I kind of was like, oh, so he just died anyway.
Yeah.
Of natural causes. So he didn't really get huge, like, it doesn't feel very... He justice. Died at 56. I suppose that's like nature, natural
and
justice.
And cancers
but...
are painful.
Yeah, that is true. And then that's...
I hate gas
chambers. No way of getting out of that as well, if you know what I mean. So you can appeal your thing, but you can't. You can appeal to God, I guess, but you know, yeah. I'm not gonna. Anyway, Charlene, this is where this is. She took a plea deal after pleading not guilty.
Excellent. Oh wow, that's a bit contradictory.
Yeah. So I was like, so you've already pleaded. This is what I was trying
normally
to check earlier.
Normally, you can't change your
exactly.
plea.
Exactly. But this is what it, you know, said. That's what I thought. So she's already said.
I didn't do it. And then she said,
not
surprise.
Guilty.
I think
so obviously, I would have thought you'd get more for that.
I think you can change it that way,
but
you can't.
You obviously
can't
change it the
once
other
you
way.
Say you're guilty, you can't.
But it's like, it's not, I feel like she didn't get any extra years for that, if you know what I mean, which you should, because you obviously, that's the point, that you said you're not guilty.
Yeah.
Because she took the plea deal that if she testified against him in court,
if she gets 0 years,
no,
though, okay.
Oh no, no, she got, she still got, you know,
yeah.
her good amount of years. She was like 24, I believe.
Okay,
but she didn't get her like good amount of
yeah,
years.
Not.
She got 16 years 8 months, which is
what? 16.
No, I know. I was like, are you actually serious?
Is she out now?
She's out. Yeah, you ready? So she is now out. July 1999. I think she's still alive. I'm pretty sure she's still alive.
Yeah, she would probably be.
And she got released back to Sacramento, California, where they killed everyone.
What?
I know, I was like, really? So...
Oh my god.
So basically... Oh, I've got one more thing just before I go on to this. So, Gerald, you know, I said he said that he wasn't guilty, even on his deathbed, he refused to, you know, admit guilt. He said... You're going to love this.
Great.
According to one source now, there's a quote that he said in court. I can honestly tell you, and I'm not bragging, that if I've had problems with girls, it's because I've had too many.
Oh my god.
That's disgusting.
That's
so
arrogant.
I know. That's just...
Oh.
Oh.
That
so,
like
you know...
Trump would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It does. Nice to
so,
know.
You know, you can see his... personality
ego,
from that. But yeah, so she, in prison, she studied business, psychology, and Icelandic literature extensively.
That's
so, you know, so she, so what I was trying to find out, I struggled to find out, like, things she said initially at her trial, or kind of, like, when she was apprehended initially, because I was struggling to see how much, kind of, guilt she had admitted at that point. So, you know, if you want to look into that further, you can. But obviously, she, you know, took this plea deal and said she... Oh, well, anyway. So she said, right, now, I feel like I'm a little bit biased against her.
Yeah,
because I heard... So obviously, I've seen all of this, which she was involved in. And also, I heard an audio clip.
Oh,
and her, She just sounds very insincere to me.
Yeah.
You can hear it later, but I've gathered some quotes. So, obviously, you won't capture the tone, but... So she said, "There were victims who died and there were victims who lived. It's taken me a hell of a long time to realise I'm one of the ones who lived." So she sounds very...
Okay.
So the problem is, was she really his victim?
Yeah.
And was she manipulated into this? Because there seems to be... There's not very many signs of that. Although he had manipulative behaviour. She said she was worried that, like, if she tried to run away, she said he would try to kill
her. But then you don't plead not guilty. If that is what happened, you... If that is what happened, when they say, "Did you do this?"
Yeah.
You say, "Yes, I did, but here is why."
Yeah, exactly. Unless she was trying to defend him because she was scared. But also, there's the thing of, like, she didn't take part in, as far as I know, she obviously took part in the kidnapping, but not the actual...
Yeah.
Actually, I think...
She took part in...
I think one of the victims were forced to... How do you, like, phrase this? Like, do sex acts to her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Perform, thank you. I'm sure that happened. Whether that was his, kind of, part of his, like, fantasy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, she carried this out. She said she would be part of it. But it's very hard to know. Obviously, you know, you can't really know the details of that. Whereas, you know, the details of the crime. So it's hard to see. It's just, a lot of it was just that interview sounded, very self-victimized. So she said... She tried to save some of their lives. Not sure where the evidence is of that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, but I didn't want to.
She also said, "When I went to prison, I truly believed I deserved the death penalty, even though there was no evidence against me."
But there
So
was...
it just kind of sounds like, oh, I truly believed I deserved the death penalty.
I'm a good person.
But yet, I didn't accept the death penalty. I took a plea deal so that I could get out.
Yeah.
And also... but
yeah,
I'm a good
if you deserve
anyway.
It, you plead
like,
guilty.
I felt like even though there was no evidence against me suggesting that
she's innocent,
that she's innocent.
Okay, this is annoying me.
And an interviewer, this interviewer said, "Did you ever want to take part in any of these killings?" And she said, "No, for God's sakes, no." And she's proud of putting him on death row. So that's interesting. Also, she has. So since she came out of prison, she has apparently dedicated herself to charity pursuits, and the interviewer also asked her, how much have you dedicated yourself? And she said, "I'd say 100% of my life."
I would say not 100%, I would say about maybe 25%,
well,
and that's being generous.
I also saw something else suggesting that her charitable actions were, like, dubious anyway, you know. I'm not sure, you know. Again, that's something you might have to look into further. It's quite hard to find these little
especially
details,
especially because I would imagine she's probably got some kind of protection.
Yes, she got to change her name,
obviously,
and so she has to register as
sex offender.
No,
okay,
as do you know what, I can't remember the word, but something as a criminal, essentially. But, you know, she can live in this area where, like, relatives and friends of the victims that she was involved in their murders.
So she could just interact with them and they would have no idea.
Yeah, apparently, I read as well. So again, one article, because it's very hard to find the information, saying that she ended up sitting across the table at Thanksgiving dinner from from the parent of one of the murdered girls.
Oh.
But it was unclear then whether they knew who she was. But would you want to sit there if you knew? But on the other hand, obviously, the other side of the debate, because really, she might have genuinely been a victim. It's, you know, you can look into it further and see your own opinion, and I suppose we'll never actually know.
Yeah.
But,
Well, obviously, if he's dead now, not that he would have ever said any.
But, you know, because he clearly was, like, a manipulative man, but it's just those initial, so, you know, the example of his own daughter and she knew.
Yeah.
And that was early stages, and there's the fact that she was kind of drawn to that, and she went along with his fantasy. There was no evidence that she tried to resist, but then it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are in, like, an abusive relationship. I don't want to say...
Yes, she was, or no, she wasn't.
Yeah, and I feel like I've quite heavily leaned towards it was her fault.
There are aspects. I think
regardless, almost regardless, it's difficult, but 16 years and 8 months just seems insignificant for all those
Some of those girls were like, or those girls were 16.
Yeah.
And that if you think, so it's 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Some of them were older.
It's hard. I was trying to make this point as well, and I left it because I just couldn't. But I think you can kind of
the amount of life that they've lost.
Yeah.
Some of them have
lost.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like 84 years if you live to 100, let's say.
Yeah. And she's lost 16 years and 8 months. And she's back out. She's a functioning member of society.
Yeah. She's basically no repercussions.
Trauma. Yeah. Or limited repercussions. So it is very difficult. And, you know, it depends on your sort of perspective. Yeah. And regardless of, like, your own perspective, it just depends. Not depends, but, you know, you can never really know, basically. But it's just interesting that she... Because I was thinking, it seems like men get off easily when you see these, like, things coming out, like, rape things particularly. But, you know, this shows another side, I suppose.
Yeah, because he got much.
But that's another thing. At the start, he also got off. This just kind of highlights some of the flaws of the
legal system
that he was 13, but he, you know, sexually abused a 6-year-old and committed many other crimes, and yet he served, I think it was 3 years after these 23 crimes, and he was free to go and commit, you know, he wasn't caught. But anyway, so that kind of concludes that episode.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and I hope you all enjoyed.
Enjoyed
to the extent you can, because it was obviously
informative.
Yeah, obviously quite terrible, some of those things. But so see you next episode.
Yeah, we're gonna take a break before I do mine, because mine's.
Do you want to give any little hints, or do you want to just leave it completely?
Mine's another duo, and then that's as far as I'm gonna go, because it's sad. It's like. Quite unique. I am
excited.
It's really interesting. I find it really interesting. I say that every time.
I'm looking forward to this. Right. Okay. Let's go.
See. Bye bye.